All right, we'll be turning to John 17 if you're not already there. A couple more trickling in here. Samantha, if you can hear me, water. Please. It's kind of nice having speakers going throughout the whole building, you know. We'll see if it works, huh? Well, welcome. How are we doing?
Super.
All right. You know, that tells me everything I need to know for the rest of the evening. That's how you guys respond. So, we're in John chapter 17. We're going to be reading verses 20 through 23, starting with Mr. Bisco going counterclockwise. Okay, I'll let you guys figure that out. Yes, you're next, Elena. I know, but she had this look. It was like, oh no. And we're going to read those verses, and you're going to tell me what you think about it. All right? And then you guys are going to run the show. So, Mr. Bisco, whenever you're ready. What jumps out to you guys? I'll round table this for a couple minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Justin pointing out the end of 21 there, that they may be in us. Really expanding on the oneness of the Son and the Father. And we'll definitely talk about that tonight. Yeah. Dr. Dave, you looked like you were going to say something earlier, and you were being polite. We did stop in verse 23. What jumps out to you guys? Yeah. The glory that we are supposed to receive and reflect in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, yeah. Yeah, and we'll definitely talk about that. I think that's great. That's something, not necessarily the glory, but this is something that new that really jumped out to me this week. And so I'm going to pause, and we're going to come back to that. Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's get a couple more. Matthew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and that has been on my heart this last year, is I went through this process of getting married. And they say you don't realize how selfish you are until you get married. And then they told me, and then you'll realize how still selfish you are when you have a kid. And, you know, it's great because when you get to know somebody that well, it's beautiful, but at the same time they know how to push your buttons, right? And it forces you to either grow or to flounder. This relationship, pushing each other for greatness for Christ. But if we build relationships, now maybe not on the intimacy of like a marriage relationship, but those relationships with one another, and they're real, and we're doing life together, aren't we going to push each other? Aren't we going to sharpen each other? Isn't it through the perfection of unity that we are perfected? Yeah. So really, really valuing the relationships that we can build in the body. And I mean, taking them to that next level. I mean, where they can just walk in your house and eat your food, right? No. Yeah. No. But I mean, really, I mean, more than what the church has built, by the way of generating fellowship. I mean, a sincere oneness where we share all things. That's great. Yeah. One more. Jumped out to you guys. This is awesome. We're going to hit all of these in depth. Yeah. Super Dave, I can see the wheels turning.
All the way back to the first point, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for all those who believe in
me. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Okay. Do you want to elaborate on it?
As he's praying to the Father, you know, in asking for their prayers, he's not talking about just the apostles. He's talking about everybody that is going to believe in him.
Yeah.
Follow him and follow his word.
Yeah. Kind of talking about you guys, isn't he?
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah, let's start there. Where's the church when Jesus is praying to the God right now? Where's the church? We are. But it certainly hasn't been established on the earth yet, has it? Okay. But it is deeply entrenched in the mind of the Lord. As we know Ephesians, okay? Before the foundation of the world. Right? Let's actually go to Matthew chapter 25. I like the way Jesus words this. Super Dave, Dr. Dave said we left on you, so we're going to have you read this verse. Let's do 31 through 34. I'm going to have you grab those. Yes, please.
Okay. Chapter 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left.
34.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
Those who believed in the Son of Man, that when that day comes, you will say, "Come and receive the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Okay, definitely in the mind of God, but hasn't been carried out because Jesus hasn't yet been glorified. But you bring up an excellent point. Jesus is praying for the church. That's cool. That is really, really cool. And we can too. It just brings to light Jesus' focus. And that even though it hasn't come about, if it's according to God's plan, you can pray with great confidence and certainty that it is going to come about. Okay? You know, we can pray with absolute certainty about things that God's revealed in His Word, but you know, aren't in this world in reality just yet. Okay. Can you guys think of maybe one thing that we would be praying for, like Jesus prays? That's an absolute certainty, but maybe hasn't come to its completeness yet. What do you guys think? Jesus' return, stronger faith, absolutely. The coming of Christ, right? Yeah, yeah. Being ready. That's great. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Teresa, would you mind grabbing verse 29? I love this scripture. So that Jesus isn't alone. So that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. But that's what we are to be praying for. Okay. He says that those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I'd say for most of us, that transformation process isn't complete in our character. You guys agree? But it's something that God explains to us that has already happened in the heavenly places. That if the Christian will just set his mind on the Spirit and let the Spirit leave and lead, and in so being a child of God, can be the very example of Christ in this life. Okay? That's something we ought to be praying for. That's something that God has said has already taken place, but maybe more times than we'd like to admit, isn't a reality in front of us at this point. But something we have got to pray to with confidence and certainty towards. That's an example I thought of. So, yeah. Any other thoughts or comments on that? We kind of move on? Yeah.
Proverbs
17 and 18. You want to go ahead and read that?
I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and I yield better than the choice of silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of justice, to endow those who love me with gold that I may fill their treasures. That's pretty much what he's saying throughout all these chapters.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, especially throughout this part of John has been going through, as we seek him and follow him and follow his word. You know, and that's written all the way back to the King David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Super Dave. Appreciate that. I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick here. I thought this was so. I'll just read verse 20 here in John 17 again too. So he says, "I don't ask on behalf of these alone," referring to the apostle, right? "But for those also who believe in me," and we've really been working on that. We know that's all those, the disciples who would come to salvation to God through Christ Jesus. And he says, "Through their word." Those who will come through their word. Who's there? Whose word? Okay? But he says there. Plural pronoun. The apostles, right? And so it made me think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, "Paul, called apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Okay? God is the author of all language. Okay? He rounds them up, the Tower of Babel, and scatters them and gives them their language. Okay? You know, God's the author of language, and it is the word that is the only mechanism by which disciples are produced. Now, I just didn't knock any of your socks off, but this is one of those moments when I like to stop and think about, like, yeah, this is the mechanism by which God has chosen to bring about his plan, because he could have done it anyway. And one of those examples that we think about is, why has God chosen to deliver his salvation message to the whole world through his church? Right? Not always going to find the answer, but the point is, that's the perfect will of God. His ways are above our ways, and it's through his wisdom and his knowledge. And so he chose that mechanism, but it's by the communicated preached word that disciples are made. And he says, in Corinthians here, he says, "To the saints by calling." You see, there is a calling that's going out into the world, and it's the preached gospel message. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. It's like, "I don't ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word." This is a powerful prayer. All scripture is powerful, God-breathed, but I hope this has really been coming out in your groups the last few weeks, that just how powerful this prayer is. This is a prayer that Jesus is praying to God for the apostle that we get to be benefactors of, being on this side. You guys understand what I'm saying? On this side of the cross. We get to receive the power of this prayer. But it's that the apostle remained faithful and went and preached the word, that now the gospel message spoken can make disciples. But that's the only way. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, we know really well in verse 42, said those who had been immersed and been placed into the spiritual kingdom of God, says that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay? Now, of course, it's the Lord who saves. And it's the Lord's message, and it's being done through the Holy Spirit. But it was done through those 12 men. Okay? That it was sent through. You know, Jesus isn't going to appear to the prisoner in his jail cell and lead him the path to salvation. Who's heard that before? I mean, at least on Facebook, right? An angel isn't going to come in the darkness of the night when you're sleeping and proclaim to you the way of salvation. Because Jesus' prayer is that those he prays for that will come to him later will be through the word spoken by the apostle. And sure enough, the kingdom starts in Acts 2, and you see the disciples devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Well, this is important. Because I don't know about you guys, but I battle this about every other month. I mean, if you're in any habit of getting people sat down on the regular, man, they're going to tell you God talks to them. And then if they back off from that a little bit, okay, they're going to say, oh, well, it was like a vision. I just know it was from heaven. Like, guys, the message delivered comes through the spoken word of God. Alone makes disciples. We can look at the example of the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay? Right? Angel appears to Philip. Why didn't the angel go to the eunuch? Because that's not the mechanism that God created to deliver the message that's the power to bring salvation. The spoken word. That's what he's saying here. He says, I don't ask on behalf of these alone, but for also those who believe in me through their word. That's what Jesus is praying for. We got Cornelius. Is that what you were going to say, Super Dave? You know, Cornelius, a righteous man, worshiper of God. An angel appears to him. You know, we need to go. We need to go to Acts chapter 11. Yeah, we're just going to do it. Angel appears to him. Preaches the gospel to him. Nope. What does the angel do? What does the angel say? Yeah. It says, hey, go send someone. Go find Peter. Okay? In Acts chapter 11, it's told. In verse 13, he says, and he reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in the house saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. And he, the apostle, the one Jesus praying for, will speak words to you. By which you will be saved, you and all your household. That is the only way, the only mechanism by which someone can be transferred from darkness to light. Is the spoken word of God, through the spoken words of the Spirit. Okay. Any thoughts or comments on that? Yeah, Super Dave.
Even Paul himself, before he became Paul, was still Saul. When he was blinded, he was sent to get the word from
Ananias. Ananias.
Yeah, Ananias. Mm-hmm. He received the first part of the word from Ananias before he ever got the revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to go back to Psalm 102. See if Matthew's got this one memorized yet. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was. Yeah. We've all read our Bible, and there's times when you're going through it the first, second, maybe third time that something else jumps out to you. And I remember when Matthew and I had a conversation because Psalm 102 really jumped out to us at the exact same time. You'll know what I'm talking about. But this is crazy encouraging, you guys. Okay, and by crazy I mean wonderful. In Psalm 102, starting in verse 12, it says, "But you, O Lord, abide forever, and your name to all generations. And you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity in her dust, so the nations will fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared to her. He has appeared in his glory. He has regarded the prayer of the destitute and has not despised their prayer. And this will be written for a generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." What was it that's going to be spoken and preserved so that it may serve its purpose in a generation to come? That purpose being the ability to raise up those in the likeness of Christ and seat them in the heavenly places, the Word. Man, that's cool. Anybody want to give me a circa date on Psalms? Anyone brave enough? I know we know. Thousand BC. Where are we at AD? What day is it? 2018, man. 3,000 years before you here right now, God prophesies that this baby gonna be saved so that it can bring you into his kingdom. But it's the Word. It's the Word. But look, man, you just stop and think about it for a second. Look at the way the world has evolved technologically and culturally. But man, we're still reading books on paper. Well, I guess some of us now. You got these e-readers, you know. I mean, I want you to let that sink in. You know, if you look at history from an evolutionary perspective, you should be able to dig up. You should be able to dig up earlier writing forms in their simplicity. But when we go in there and dig into the temples and we dig into the stacks and the libraries, you know what we find from the earliest recorded writings? Complex, intricate language. Now, if we came from a bunch of cave-dwelling, you know, monkey-walking baboons, we would have shapes and colors like we use in learning to read, because, like, the thought process of communicating the Word would have been simplistic. But guys, no matter how far we go back, we actually see, I'm not going to shock you here, that language was more complex than it is today. Right? I mean, has the complexity of our language gone up or down in the last 2,000 years? Okay, thank you. I'm getting lots of thumbs down. No thanks to English, right? We're going back to emojis and pictures. Yeah. You guys see what I'm saying? We're actually going the wrong way. In English, you know, we can blame English for that. Okay? We're actually going in the opposite direction. Why is that? Because language, complex from its creation, was done by God for a specific purpose, to bring about disciples. Any thoughts or comments before we move on? Okay. Verse 21. Back in John 17. "That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." A couple lines from the notes I'd like to just read to you guys. The Lord's desire is for his disciples to be unified in purpose and teaching. I want to ask you guys, how do you picture, no wrong answers, just how do you picture that unity? I know how I used to think about it, and now I know how I view it after studying Jesus' prayer. The Lord's desire is for his disciples to be unified in purpose and in teaching. What does that unity look like? Thinking the same thing? You're nailing it.
Well,
Christ Church does it different in Montana, but we all do it the same.
Right.
It's the same.
It's the same as long as it's what? It's the same as long as it's what? Matching the God's word. Right. Yeah. Did anybody else have a picture of unity they wanted to share? Intent on one purpose? Right. Okay. One God, one word. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, that's unity. Okay? Now what if you went down, I don't care where you go, and pulled someone out of a retail shop and asked them what unity is? You start getting a bunch of flags with a bunch of rainbows painted vertically and horizontally. That ain't unity. Unity is marching in the same direction, intent on the same purpose, glorifying the Lord and spreading His word, and making sure that your lives and your teaching match up exactly with what the Lord has taught and commanded. That's unity. Super Dave.
Just as the four different Gospels, they all say the same thing, but they're all worded slightly different. It's according to their according to what they remember, what they wrote. But they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just like, it says in Scripture that Christ is the husband and the church is the wife. That's a unit.
Mm-hmm.
We all got to be focused on the same thing.
And Christ's the head of the household. And He sets the direction of the tone of the family. Absolutely. This is important. I think, guys, I would just caution you, I think we have to be even careful in today's world using the terminology non-denominational. a kid growing up, you get out there and you meet some new people and they're like, "What are you?" And I remember coming home, "Dad, what are we? Are we Protestant?" someone told me I was Protestant. "Oh, you're a Christian and you're not Catholic, then you're Protestant." I was like, "Okay." I'm like, "Yeah, are we Protestant?" He was just like, I can still remember this conversation. He's trying to be polite. He's trying to be nice. He's like, "Just say Christian, non-denominational." Man, that worked when I was a kid. Doesn't work for you guys. There's a huge, huge non-denominational push in the world right now, isn't there? But it's so they can go, "Hallelujah. Can all coexist." Matthew.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
yeah. I mean, we can just get rid of the rules, because at least the Presbyterians have rules. At least the Methodists tell you how to...
What they mean by it is that everybody's actually okay.
Yep. The comment Matthew said is what they mean by that is that everyone's okay as long as we just believe in the name of Jesus. Right. Okay. And so this, it's a point worth pausing on. Okay, Rich.
I was just
going
to
say, if I myself, yeah. Throw out the rules.
Yeah.
No rule book.
Yeah.
I don't have to read the Bible because apparently nobody can understand it. All it does is just make people fight. So, And so it's important. Okay. I remember... I was selling cars on the side. I actually got a couple Bible studies out of it, which is really cool. And I'm talking to this guy one time, and he said, "Hey, we were at our second or third study," and he was like, "There's this revival thing going on at West High. You should come. I think this is right up your alley." And he was telling me about it, and he's like, "We're just really trying to unify faith in Billings." That's not unity. It's not unity. The unity that Jesus is praying for. What's the illustration that He uses to back it up? What does He say? Verse 21. "That they may be unified as" what? Open book test. You can read from the answer key if you like. Matthew. You mean the one who knows the Father? The only one that's seen the Father? The one who has beheld Him in His bosom? That Jesus' oneness with the Father. He is the perfect communicator, by the way. But that's a oneness. But you have to be serving the Lord through His commands in order to be able to do that. Okay, let's hit a couple verses here really quick. I'm just going to kind of assign some out real fast so we can kind of move on. Would you go to Psalm 133:1? I probably all quote. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and another section after that. Justin, Philippians 2, 1 through 2. And wife, Christians. Super Dave, start us off.
Psalm 133, 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity.
Now, God the Father, behold how beautiful and how pleasant it is. Is he talking about the biker gang down on 24th and King? Them guys got a lot in common, right? Okay. They are united. But it's not the unity that he's speaking about. Okay? Dave. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I mean, being diligent, taking full consideration, all your thoughts and actions captive for the purpose of preserving the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. Would you also, in the same chapter, grab 11 through 13? Mature man attains to the full unity. Guys, this is a unity that transcends physical boundaries. This is way past the biker gang downtown. This is a spiritual unifying. Okay? Justin, Philippians 2, 1 through 2.
Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and of one purpose.
Make the apostles' joy complete, inspired by the Spirit, by being unified. Okay? Go ahead. Colossians 3, 12 through 14.
So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity.
Perfect bond of unity. Now, I'm not going to... We're approaching 8 o'clock. I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to talk about it and just let you guys at least chew on it for this week. What's Satan? I mean, did we read enough verses to show the theme and the thrust and desire that the Lord has for His church? Okay. Now, if you're Satan, what are you going to do? You're going to try and disrupt it. Super Dave, you're going to try and break it up. Okay? I'll use myself as an example, and because I talk to you guys, I've heard it from you, from yourselves as well. Okay, but you get immersed, you get into Christ, and you're serious about doing this. Especially if you're anything like me, and you're just like a go-getter. Okay, and you get in, you sit down, and someone next to you in the Lord's church isn't nice to you. What's your first thought? Well, that doesn't belong here. Luke said that. You guys appreciate, you guys understand what I'm saying. Because that's from Satan. Okay? Now, I think that is a stumbling stone that every person hits at some point. when they look out into those who have been clothed with Christ and they don't see the full conformed image of the Son of Man, it's like it doesn't belong here. Now, the first thing we need to do is remember, how am I doing? Right? So this is where, like, we could talk about this all night. My point is, guys, that's from Satan. That causes more people to leave than probably anything else I've met that make it in. Okay? Because they don't see the perfected character of Christ in the church when they walk in. We got to remember, guys. Okay? We got a lot of new people coming in every few months. God has given them of a perfect conscience. How's their character? Worldly. They have bad habits. Really, really bad habits. Okay? The Lord's got to work on them. Okay? And so, I really appreciate the Lord's prayer here, because he says, well, let's go to 22. I don't want to jump ahead here too much. It says, well, you know, I am going to skip it for a second, then we'll come back. Verse 23 says, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. You guys notice that? That they may be. Kind of implying that there's a process in there. We got to remember that. Okay? But that is straight from Satan. He is coming to disrupt unity in the body, and he's going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. Okay? We have to be faithful and remember that each person, according to their allotted measure of faith, is working out their own salvation, fear and trembling. That was a very important message for myself. Okay, Super Dave, quickly.
One thing you've got to remember, too, is not everybody's always going to be nice to you every time. So you got to remember, you don't know what their day was. You don't know what they've been going through either. Mm-hmm. So it's up to each individual. It's up to me to be nice, no matter what kind of attitude mm-hmm. you have, because you may have a bad day.
Right.
So if I hold that against you, then, like you said, that's Satan creeping in. But if I follow the word of Jesus and not forgive that, you know, just try and move on and still continue being mm-hmm. nice. It might change your attitude.
Sure.
It might help you. It might keep you to open up as to what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and I hope, just in quick passing, the point that I'm bringing out too is, man, that's also between you and your fellow brother, or the one who's sitting in front of you, and maybe they're bugging you. We gotta remember, I mean, that's from Satan, man. You guys set out to destroy it, to destroy that unity. Okay, let's read verse 22 here. You guys crack me up. If you guys missed it, Dr. Dave was bugging. You know, Dave was sitting in front of him. Verse 22, he says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one." I wish I could ask you guys, but we just got to kind of go through this. This is the part that was new coming out, that it came out to me, that I thought was so awesome. So I'm reading this, and he's like, I'm praying for those who are going to believe in me, the church, through the spoken word and preached word, the apostles, verse 20 into verse 21, that they may be one. That through the preaching of the gospel, that we can bring together an entire generation of people through their faith in Jesus Christ. A oneness that can only be described by the oneness that Jesus has with the Father. And how's he going to do it? By giving them of his glory. That's how he does it. There's the mechanism. The game's got going, and what gets the dice rolling is the glory of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? I mean, just again, puts another perspective on the glory of the Lord and its purpose and why we should be receiving and reflecting that glory. So, if someone, look at yourself, is not currently going the right direction and not receiving and reflecting the Lord's glory and working out their own fear, their own salvation with fear and trembling, what do you think that's going to do to unity? That's where it crumbles. But see, it's the Lord's glory that's the mechanism that brings about unity. And now that puts the onus on each one of you individually to be growing in the Lord. Okay, any thoughts or comments on that? What time do you guys normally finish out here? Okay. I just thought that was, I don't know, maybe you guys already knew this and you're miles ahead of me, but I thought that was awesome. Like, I am breaking this down. And I'm like, man, that's a serious unity. John 1, man, the only one who's begotten, the one who's been in the held the bosom of the Father, that's the oneness that he wants with me and Super Dave. How is he going to do that? His glory. Only way. We have to be receiving that glory, man, all the time, so it can be reflected in the way that we treat and interact and share in our oneness with one another. Man, this is a powerful prayer, isn't it? And Jesus is praying for it to come about. And if you've been immersed in Christ, you've got to pick up your Bible. He's brought it about. He prayed for it. He's prayed for it. It's awesome. Okay, verse 23 says, "The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one." Oh, that's verse 22, but we'll keep reading it. "Just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." Okay. Okay. Oh, nothing to anyone but to love one another. You know, this is when it really starts to hit home, guys. You want to know how the world's going to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? By the love you have for one another. By your ability to march in the same direction. You want to talk about teaching an old dog new tricks? Look at every person in this room. We ain't got a single similar personality. In fact, I'd say we all got really different personalities and different likes. Man, but despite all of it, God can bring a people together. And it's through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the testament to the world that God is righteous. That God can take people who are selfish and evil in their nature, Ephesians says, and turn them from darkness to light and transform a heart from being impatient to being patient and to sacrificing for someone else. The world should see that in us. And if it does, they will believe, the world will believe that God sent the Messiah. It's very cool, but it's also very weighty, isn't it? That's on us. And the world looks at the Lord's church. Had a gal this week say this in this study, going through Romans, that very chapter that Mom Tool referenced. And she goes, "Well, I just kind of find it weird that most Christians I've met ain't very nice people." Now, she probably has, like, she hasn't met you guys. Let me just say it that way. You guys are pretty awesome. Okay. We're not picking on people. But you guys understand what I'm saying. Man, what's going to make anyone want to follow the Lord's commandments and change their entire life when what they see being reflected in that person's life is the same thing they're already doing? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to sacrifice everything? Okay? But the fact that God is righteous, the fact that He is the truth, and that He is the light and the life is reflected in this life through our unified belief and our unified vision. And our unity and love for one another. I just think that is a tremendous, great thing that we've been given. It's what Jesus is praying for. Okay. I'm just going to read this last line from the notes. Before that, I wrote down a question to challenge you guys, because I like to challenge you guys. Are you participating in the prayer of Christ? Reflecting on the four verses we read tonight. Are you participating in it? You see, because if there's going to be unity in the body of believers here in Billings, say that 10 times in a row, it'll be because you are receiving and reflecting the very glory of the Lord. Every day. Are you participating in the prayer of Christ? The last line here says, "In the throes of leaving the apostles behind, the contemplating the future of His kingdom, as He prayed in the presence of the Father, the earnest desire of the suffering Savior was that His disciples would be perfected in unity through their participation in His glory by faith. What follower of Christ would willingly disregard this prayer? Who is one making a claim to be the disciple of the Lord could have such a cold heart as to fail to pursue the things which make for peace and unity of doctrine and practice found in the pages of Jesus' holy word. Like, if you're reading it and you believe it, how can you not respond to it? How can you not devote your entire life to the glory of Christ? Hey, and if we take it serious and we do it, man, we can communicate God's righteousness to a world that desperately needs it. Okay. Any closing thoughts or comments? Rich. Absolutely.
I mean, if you have an army or a field full of slaves, they're holding their own dress. That's pretty, you know, pretty more glory to me as a master. I
can, right.
You know, find out it's greater than yours.
Yeah.
But with Christ, we willingly accept that yoke. And that is, to me, I mean, before I was here, that was, people are here by choice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the worship program wasn't all that flattering, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, going to church and going to the theater.
Right.
And didn't really do anything when I was there.
Yeah.
But I came here and sat in the back row at Christmas Zoo, and also I realized there's something to this.
Isn't that great? Because of those who are of His voice, who hear His word, and stick around, don't almost... all of them say that very same thing. That what they appreciated about what they saw and heard here was that these people are real. Because that's Jesus' prayer. That's a great comment to end on, Rich. That's what communicates God is right and that His plan works in the heart of those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He can turn a sinner from a sinner to a saint. From someone who is in darkness and bring them into the very light of the glory of His Son. Okay. That's on us. That's great. That's great. Justin, would you please close us with a word of prayer?
Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful to be able to examine Your Word and to be able to receive and reflect that glory, Lord, that we may be able to be shining lights to this world, in a world that is totally lost and really doesn't have any standard without You. People say they have standards, but we know that all these things come from You, and they're at once upon a time based upon things that are principles from Your Word, and that is why that they do have structure. Lord, we're thankful for the body here in Billings, and we continue to pray for one another. We continue to help build one another up, that we may be able to glorify You, that Your kingdom will continue to be built, that You may come and collect those that are Yours, and as we continue to be placed in glory with You. Pray that You be with us the rest of the week as we go out, and Lord, we thank You for all that You do here for us here in Billings and to the churches around the world. In Your name we pray. Amen.